Now, if you're a person who likes to follow with notes and you haven't got one near you, there are some spares on the table here. We're in the I Am series. Who do people say I am? That's the question that Jesus put to Peter. We've heard what Joyce has said, and over the last couple of weeks, we've heard what some other people have said as well. Now, I am the light of the world. All was dark until God said, "Let there be light," and then there was light. Now, I've got a few sorts of lights here, not extensive, and you would probably have many more in different spots. Now, I've got a torch, which is one sort of light. I've got a candle. I'm not sure how many of you use candles at home rather than pay the power bill, but some of you might. I'm always amazed at how much light one little candle can give. And if we all sat here until midnight tonight and all the lights were out, all the curtains were drawn, we would find that even that one little light was perhaps enough light for us. It's amazing what light does. I've got here a little lamp that's the sort of lamp that might have been used in Jesus' time. In that large hole, they put the oil, and there they had a wick, and they lit that wick, and that lick, and that lick, and that wick was the light that shone. So we understand a little bit more when we were told, be lights, don't put it behind a bush, even if it is artificial, don't put it behind a bush, but actually put it up on a lampstand. And in houses they had lampstands that were high up, and up on that went the lamp, and of course that's what gave the light to the house. How many of you have got a snuffer? Oh, there are three of us. Right. Pardon? Jill uses a soup spoon to put out the candle. Righto. Now, here we've got, as I say there, a number of things. Fire, of course, gives light. Candles, gas, neon, x-rays, all sorts of light that are just incredible. But Jesus today is saying, I am the light of the world. Now, this is the setting. If you go right back to the start of that chapter, chapter 7, if you've got your Bibles, we read, after this, Jesus, this is chapter 7, verse 1. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He wouldn't go about in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. And I've got there that they wandered in the wilderness. And as I said to the children, when they met for the feast of tabernacles, they built these impromptu shelters to remind themselves that God had looked after them. That was the idea. And on the last day of the feast, as Vicky read, Jesus stood up and said he was the living water, and then there was a bit of a dispute. Now, this was an autumn festival. Sometimes it was called the Festival of the Ingathering, which I think is where we got our Harvest Thanksgiving idea from. So, an all-adult men particularly, living within a 20-mile radius, were compelled to go to this feast. That was part of the festival. It lasted for 8 days, normally September, October, an 8-day festival. Now, on the last day of the festival, Jesus stands up and declares, "I'm the light of the world." But for each of the nights of the festival, this is what happened. In the temple treasury, which was where they obviously collected the money, in the court of the women, there was like a colonnade with arches or whatever they had, and there were 13. You think it's bad enough us having one box at the back, but there were 13 trumpet-like cylinders, and there were 13 different offerings that you could give to as you walked along, and that was there. So that's what people went past. But there were 4 candelabras or stands made of gold, and on top of that was a light. And I'm not exactly sure how they did that, but there was a light, and the wick, if they made it like this, and of course there were enormous candles, I'm sure that they didn't make them like that, although I'm happy to be corrected. But if they were enormous lamps, I think it was like this, because the wick was actually made out of the priest's old clothes. So isn't that amazing? They were recyclers right back then. The priest's old clothes made the wicks of the illumination. But can you imagine these 4 enormous gold candlesticks or stands, 75 feet high? 75 feet high. So we're talking, what, 20 metres at least? And it used to be said that every 10 feet made a floor of a building. So perhaps 6 or 7 buildings or flights or floors high. Enormous, enormous. And it said that when they were lit for this feast, and they were lit every night, and then they were put out in the morning and lit again at sundown, that the whole of Jerusalem was lit up. What an incredible thing. So they're all there for the feast, they're all there for the celebration, they've all there, they've made their huts and whatever, and then that happens. And every night the men danced and sang and quoted psalms and celebrated the goodness of God, and they remembered his protection as they travelled through the wilderness, and the Shekinah glory, or the light that shone in the night and the cloud in the day. It was a special celebration, and I've got there, it was called the Illumination of the Temple. Now, later in the year, or in their year, around Christmas time, there was another feast called the Celebration of Lights or whatever. But this is the Illumination of the Temple. They link those 2 things together, which both related to going through the wilderness and God's protection and God's guidance. Just amazing. But when I read that and thought again, how amazing that the presence of God was there, and these 4 great big golden candles, you couldn't miss it. And into that situation steps Jesus. And what does he say? "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Now, these people are thinking, can anything be greater than the light that is here? And I'll put a quote in there from William Barclay, who says, it's as if Jesus is saying, "You have seen the blaze of the temple illumination piercing the darkness of the light. I am the light of the world. And for the one who follows me, there will be light not only for one exciting night, but for all of the pathway of their life. How amazing. The light of the temple is brilliant, but in the end it flickers and dies. I am to all the light which lasts forever. How amazing. Now, imagine if you're a Jewish person. You've come there to celebrate. And this is what happens every year. We make the building and then we do the candle thing and all of it's... Hang on a minute. Who is this man standing up and saying, yep, here are these candles, here is this illumination, but I am the light of the world. I mean, their minds just must have gone bloop, in every direction. I mean, if you're brought up in a certain way, and some of you have been brought up in certain ways, we've all got a history, a background, and all of a sudden someone comes and says, actually, you're wrong, or there's another dimension to this. We need to be very open-minded to take in something like that. I mean, even the habits we have in our houses to change are very hard. So this is a whole change of the way of their thinking. So, some of the light in John's Gospel, someone has written a book called Light, Life and Love, which are the three L's of the Gospel of John. And here we have the light, which is just incredible. The light of Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of all. It's the source of our physical understanding. It's the source of our mind. When Jesus steps in, we are changed people. Things change. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. I've got that there. No amount of darkness tonight would overcome the light of that one candle. The room would be filled with darkness, but in fact, it wouldn't overcome the light that is there. So what do we say? Well, as horrible as some of the things in the world are today, they won't overcome Jesus. We look back on history and we see some of the horrible things that have been done to Christians, things are being done today, but no. Whether it's rebellion, I've got their distortion, lack of belief, darkness and sin, Jesus is not obliterated. I am the light which will last forever. Now, how wonderful is that for us to be reminded that the God in whom we trust will be there for eternity? Just fantastic. Now, of course, it's interesting, isn't it? The light has come, but people prefer to hide in corners. People prefer to hide in darkness. People prefer to stay with their evil deeds. And I love the way that someone has put it. Truth comes to judgment for hope and forgiveness. They step out into the light. If people want truth, they step into the light. But sin needs to have clothes. Sin needs to hide, whereas truth is happy to be naked and open. I mean, what can God do with anything if we're not truthful and facing it? But when we're truthful and face it, then God can deal with it. So, in Jewish thought, of course, light wasn't new. Right through the Old Testament, light has been shown. The Lord is my light, which is what Lindy read to us from Psalm 21. The Lord shall be an everlasting light in Isaiah. By his light I walk through the darkness, said dear old Job. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light to me, says Micah. And how interesting that the rabbis or the teachers said that the Messiah, almost the name of the Messiah, was light. So when Jesus says, I am the light, you'd think that they'd link that. But no, their thinking wasn't that way. This bloke isn't going to be the Messiah, not this fellow. I am, says Jesus, the light of the world. Now, it's no surprise that a dispute starts, that there's an upset. And I'm not going to go through all of these verses, but I'm going to say, if you've got your Bibles, turn, please, to John 8. I don't think it's a mistake that we've got the celebration, the tabernacles, celebration, and then all of a sudden this woman steps into the situation, or Jesus brings the woman into the situation. And what is he saying in a way? Is he not saying, do you understand how blind you are to the situation, you men? Don't you understand that you all go off, because as soon as I say, if you want to cast a stone, throw one, but make sure you haven't committed sin. So off you go. So don't you see how that fits together? That if you can't throw a stone on this woman, well, where's your understanding of forgiveness? Where's your understanding of hope? Where does all of this fit together? They're blind to their own weakness, which is so sad. Now, Jesus is a bit antagonistic here, or he sort of brings an antagonism out in an amazing way. There is this dispute with the Jews. And after he has said to them, I am the light of the world, he then says to the Jews in verse 31, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They said, we're descendants of Abraham and we've never been in bondage. Pardon me, aren't you just having a celebration that is a celebration to say you've just come out of bondage in Egypt? I mean, this is a celebration that says you wandered in the wilderness, but you've never been in bondage? Of course you've been in bondage. Have a think. You are blind to what's going on. And so then he goes on talking to them. Now, you'd just love to be told this, wouldn't you? He talks on, you know, we've never been in bondage, blah, blah, blah. And then in verse 39, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You did what your father did. And they then say, we weren't born in fornication. We know your mum and dad. We know that story. Jesus just ignores that. He just ignores that statement. And if God were your father, you would love me, he says, for I came from God, not of my own accord. And then he says in verse 44, oh, can't you just see them standing there? You are of your father, the devil. Oh, can't you imagine those religious men? And here's this upstart saying, you're of your father, the devil. No wonder they wanted to kill him. No wonder they wanted to kill Jesus. He says in verse 44, you are of your father the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He is a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and a father of lies, and he is your father. Oh, can't you just imagine that? Can't we get hands on this guy and get rid of him? And he's just stood and said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. The Messiah's name is light, and he's saying he's the light of the world. Now he's telling us our father is the devil. What can we do? And then, of course, in verses 48 to 59, in verse 58, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day, and I saw it and was glad. The Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50, and you have seen Abraham." Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Oh, before Abraham, I was, or I am. I am present, but I was part of all of that. So they're saying, where is our theology? What's going on here? We didn't think this is how it was going to happen. And so they took up stones and some went off, but others decided they would kill him. Now, if it's political or, poetical license, I'm not sure. But in the next scene, and this isn't going to take long, in the next scene we have the blind man coming in. Now, what have we heard? What have we seen? We have seen these men who are blind to truth and blind to who Jesus is. And then the next scene we have, Jesus confronted with the blind man. It's a very interesting situation, isn't it? And, of course, the Pharisees have a fit here. The disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned?" And he says, "Well, no, this is just how it's happened." But a little bit later, the Pharisees come to the guy and they say, "You know, what's happened? What's gone on?" Well, he says, "All I know is that I just did what that man told me to do." And how interesting. They can't grasp the truth of who Jesus is, although he's healing the blind, which was also going to be one of the signs of the Messiah. But they can't, they just can't change their mindset. They are stuck in that situation. So the Pharisees throw a question back at him. Are we also blind? Are we also blind? So the question really comes to us, doesn't it? Are we sometimes blind to who Jesus really is? We can sing about it. We can state it. But are we sometimes blind in our situation to who the Son of God really is? Because we can point the finger at these guys and say, they knew, they met him, they saw him, they heard him, but they missed the point. Is it possible we sometimes miss the point? Sometimes we miss the point with Jesus. How wonderful. "I have come," Jesus says, "into the world. Whoever believes in me may not remain, wander or walk," someone has said, "in darkness." Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we haven't got a torch. What it means, of course, is in spiritual darkness, we just do our own thing and we take no notice of the word of God. And then how wonderful it will be in Revelation when we get to heaven and there'll be no need of light as we've known it, for God will be the light. I mean, that's beyond our comprehension, isn't it? To think, how on earth does that work? Well, we don't have to know. It will just be phenomenal. No need of sun or moon. Now, each of the I Ams, has a now an eternal dimension. Last week I talked of the word realised eschatology, which simply means something happening now which has a forward dimension. Eschatology means last days, but actually something of the last days are here now. "Never thirst," Jesus said, "I'm the living water." "Never hunger," Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." "And never put out or overcome, for I am the eternal light." Now, each is grounded in an historical experience of those people. The bread from heaven, the living water with the rock, with Moses, and now the light at the celebration, but also in the wilderness. It's interesting, isn't it? Where do you go back to? Joyce has shared her situation. Where do you go back to get that reaffirmation of who Jesus is to you? Something grounded in history. And that's where these people went back to. This was God's action in our situation. And we're celebrating it, but we need to make sure that we keep the reality of it. Let's pray. Our Father, we come today and we thank you that Jesus is the light, even in a world that is so incredibly dark and in some ways quite dismal and sad. But we come to you because you are the light of the world, the living God, and we trust you and we reaffirm you. So, Father, if there are blind spots in our lives, if there are areas that we're just completely blinded to, things that we don't understand, things that we pretend, may we be people who come into the light, into the truth of your word and who you are, that we might delight in the light of the living God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.